Welcome again to Good News Bible Chapel. Happy Mother's Day. For those of you who have not met me, my name is Pete Smith. It is a joy to see everybody out this morning. Today, we're continuing in our series titled Relationships 101. One person has said, the most important thing in life is relationships. The hardest thing in life is relationships. 3 weeks ago, we discovered that all relationships have expectations. There are spoken expectations and unspoken expectations. There are realistic expectations and there are unrealistic expectations. And there's negotiable expectations and negotiable, non-negotiable expectations. We also learned that expectations turn into roles and responsibility in relationships. Now, this applies to any relationship, not just with your spouse or with your children, within the family. This model applies to any relationship in life. And what happens is when each party in the relationship is fulfilling their expectations, they're committed to fulfilling their roles and responsibilities in the relationship. The relationship is very stable. It is a fulfilling relationship. It'll be one of peace and joy. Okay, that's the goal of relationships, right? But as is natural with time, all relationships go through change, right? Relationships, they're not static. They are changing. They're dynamic. There are internal and there are external circumstances that constantly challenge the status quo of a relationship. And when change occurs, there's the potential for 4 negative emotions. And the earlier that you recognize these 4 negative emotions at that pinch point, the more you'll be able to address them at an expectations level and figure out what's going on. If you know what's happening at that pinch point, you can go to that expectations level and start working on it. Okay? And so your responsibility and my responsibility in any relationship is when we feel that pinch, we need to understand what that emotion says at the expectations level and then respond in a healthy way. You have to feel to heal. You have to stop. You have to focus on what that unwanted emotion is, and then you need to respond to it. The bad news is if you choose to ignore the pinch, if you just bypass these unwanted emotions in the relationship, you're only one more disruption away from an even greater relational crisis or crunch. If you want to be someone who navigates relationships in a healthy manner, you need to identify when you feel these pinch points and know why they're happening and decide, I'm not going to pass this by. I'm not going to go to a crisis or a crunch. Okay? But if you ignore the pinch and if you settle for a pseudo-peace, you're actually just that relational crisis away from even greater harm to the relationship. You know, what happens is you jeopardize the relationship by not taking care of the things that come up in the midst of your relationship, okay? And those challenging outcomes might be that people just exit the relationship, right? That's usually when divorce happens in a marriage, or people just quit and stay. They're kind of in the relationship, but they've quit and they've walked away. They're really just showing up, but they're not really a participant anymore. There's a lot of things that can happen at that crunch point that you don't want to see happen because it takes a lot more work to get back to the joy of the relationship. And so you need to identify which emotions you're experiencing and why, and that's that all-important first step to recovering the relationship. Now, each of the 4 negative emotions that we feel at the pinch point or the crunch actually gives us clues as to what's happening at the expectations level. If God has given us these emotions to help us navigate our relationships with others, we need to know why we're experiencing them and know how to respond as a result. So the first 2 emotions occur when we feel that our personal expectations of another person are not being met by that other person in the relationship. 2 weeks ago, we discovered that we feel anger when other people block our expectations. The other negative emotion that we feel when our expectations aren't being met is sadness. When's the last time you remember feeling sad? I'm not talking about mourning. I'm not talking about grieving the loss of a loved one. And I'm not talking about depression when you're actually separated from a love object. I'm talking about a time that you were sad in an ongoing relationship with somebody else. Can you remember it? Maybe it was with somebody in your family. Maybe it was a son or daughter or a parent or a spouse. Maybe it was with somebody at church. Maybe it was with somebody at work. About this time, 15 years ago, I entered into a period of prolonged sadness for about 5 years. I became a Christian when I was 5 years old. I got serious in my walk with the Lord in high school. And I'll never forget the weekend youth conference when I distinctly remember a personal call in my life to live a life dedicated to serving the Lord. I had no idea what that would look like, but I wanted to serve the Lord. I volunteered and served in youth groups and youth camps in Maryland, Iowa, New York, and Texas. I went to Bible college and I went to seminary and I expected to be used by the Lord. And then I was turned down by several full-time ministry openings. I expected to be used by the Lord. I had been as prepared as possible. I was willing to do whatever the Lord wanted me to do. I was all trained up, and I felt like I was riding the bench. And I got really sad. And it wasn't just for a day or a week or a month. I was sad in my relationship with the Lord for 5 years. Have you ever been there? At some point in our lives, we're all going to feel sadness in our relationships with others. So what's the root cause of sadness? And what should we do about it? Well, the good news is we're not the first people in the Bible in history to feel sadness. The people in the Bible felt it as well. And so I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to a wonderful Mother's Day passage, 1 Samuel chapter 1. And we're going to read about a lady named Hannah who experienced a profound sadness. And in the process, we're going to learn from her how it is we can respond in a godly manner to sadness. Now, the book of Samuel begins in the late period of the Judges. If you know your Bible history, there's a 400-year period between the Exodus, when the Israelites left Egypt, and Israel's first king. And during that 400 years is a period where a bunch of different judges ruled and helped lead the nation of Israel. It was a time filled with a lot of difficulties for the nation of Israel. There was a lot of successes. There was civil war. There was also major advances as a nation. Shortly before Israel got its first king, towards the end of the period of the judges, we read this sad story. So you there? 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to begin at verse 1. It says, there was a man from Ramathaim, Zophim, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah. He was the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. Now, if you want to look where the map is there, you can see the big blue arrow is where he was from there in the tribe of Ephraim. That's Ramathaim, Zophim, that's there in the hill country. It's a beautiful area. In verse 2, it says that he had two wives. The name of the first was Hannah, and the name of the second was Penina. Now, Penina had children, but Hannah was childless. The reference to two wives, one childbearing and one childless, immediately alerts us to a sad situation in this family. Okay? In ancient times, families sought to produce as many kids as possible. Okay, there was no social safety net for the elderly in society. And so what you had to do was you need to have as many children as you could so that when you got old and you could no longer work and support yourself, you had children who would take on those responsibilities. And the more children you had, the more likely you would receive the care that you were going to need. In addition, the Israelites wanted to maintain possession of their family's piece of the promised land, okay? The land, parcel that they lived in, was passed down through the generations, and it was their responsibility to maintain the land that they were promised. Because of the emphasis of having children on the occasion when a wife was childless, it was oftentimes culturally acceptable for a husband to gain a second wife, and basically the second wife was there to bear children. Barrenness was the ultimate tragedy for a married woman. This is a sad situation for this lady named Hannah. Not only has her husband gained a second wife, but she is unable to have children. Maybe you've known the difficulty of infertility and how challenging Mother's Day is. Perhaps coming to Muffins with Mom today feels like you're coming into a house of sadness. In verse 3, we read this. Look with me in your Bibles. Year after year, this man would go up from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh. It was there that the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, served as the Lord's priest. And by the way, as you can see on this map, Ramathaim Zophim is not far from Shiloh. Shiloh is also in the hill country of Ephraim. So you can see there with that second blue arrow. Before the temple was built in Jerusalem, God asked the Israelites to build a tabernacle. It was a mobile worship tent setting. And for a long period of time, it was in this spot there in Shiloh, right there. Okay? Verse 4 says, whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he used to give meat portions to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But he would give a double portion to Hannah because he especially loved her. Now, the Lord had not enabled her to have children. Her rival wife used to upset her and make her worry, for the Lord had not enabled her to have children. So Peninnah would behave this way year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, Peninnah would upset her so that she would weep and refuse to eat. Finally, her husband Elkanah said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep and not eat? Why are you so sad? Am I not better than 10 sons?" You know, some people really should use a glue stick instead of chapstick. Elkanah is clearly an insensitive man, right? He's unable to understand how inconsolable Hannah feels about her barrenness. All right? Even her sadness feels barren and lonely. And to make it worse, two times in that passage, we read, the Lord had not enabled her to have children. Okay? Hannah's felt barrenness was from a real barrenness. All right? For Hannah, her barrenness wasn't just physical barrenness. It became a spiritual barrenness. It was from the Lord. She was sad in her relationship with the Lord. She expected to have children, knew the Lord was responsible, and felt like her expectations weren't being considered. And this is a really important lesson for us today, because the cause of sadness is felt at a relational pinch or crunch when others lose sight of our expectations. The root of sadness in relationships is that you feel your expectations have been lost. They've been ignored or they've been forgotten. Maybe it was because of the busyness of life or whatever reason, right? That's why we feel sad in our relationships with others. That's why Hannah felt sad. Her husband had lost sight of her. Peninnah had lost sight of her. Even worse, the Lord appeared to have lost sight of her as well. She was living in this state where there was a mixture of hope and disappointment. Only as much as is needed to keep her dreams of being a mom at bay, and not enough disappointment to kill her dreams of being a mom altogether. And so she felt as though her expectations of motherhood had been lost. If you're here and you're experiencing sadness in some relationship in your life, it's because you feel like someone has lost sight of your expectations in your relationship. It might even be between you and the Lord. So, how should we respond? Well, let's keep reading. Look with me there at verse 9 in your Bibles. It says, on one occasion in Shiloh, after they had finished eating and drinking, Hannah got up. Now at the time, Eli the priest was sitting in his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. She was very upset as she prayed to the Lord. She was weeping uncontrollably. She made a vow saying, O Lord of hosts, if you will look with compassion on the suffering of your female servant, remembering me and not forgetting your servant, and give a male child to your servant, then I will dedicate him to the Lord all the days of his life. His hair will never be cut. As she continued praying to the Lord, Eli was watching her mouth. Now, Hannah was speaking from her heart. Although her lips were moving, her voice was inaudible. Eli therefore thought she was drunk. So he said to her, how often do you intend to get drunk? Put away your wine. But Hannah replied, that's not the way it is, my Lord. I'm under a great deal of stress. I have drunk neither wine nor beer. Rather, I have poured out my soul to the Lord. Don't consider your servant a wicked woman, for until now I have spoken from my deep pain and anguish. Eli replied, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request that you have asked of him. She said, may I, your servant, find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and got something to eat, her face no longer looking sad. They got up early the next morning, and after worshiping the Lord, they returned to their home in Ramah. Elkanah had marital relations with his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. After some time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, thinking, I asked the Lord for him. So, how should we respond when others lose sight of our expectations and we feel sad? We should do what Hannah did here, right? She did the only thing that she knew to do, and that was to go straight to the person who she felt like had lost sight of her desire to be a mom. And when our expectations of others aren't being met by someone, we need to go directly to that person, okay? If it's God, we need to go to God. If it's your spouse, you need to go to your spouse. If it's your boss at work, you need to go to your boss. If it's a church leader, you need to go to the church leader. And then you need to talk to them about the expectations that you had in the relationship with them that you feel like are not being met. And so your expectations need to be reheard, remembered, and responded to by that person. If the root of your sadness is because you feel your expectations have been lost, ignored, or forgotten, then the only solution that will work for you is if you take initiative to retell, remind, and ask for a response to your relationship expectations. Okay? Hannah, she was honest with the only one who could enable her to have children. She felt her relationship with God was suffering, and she did the right thing. She told God about her deep pain and anguish. She asked the Lord to remember her. She didn't want him to forget her. She was his servant. She expressed what she wanted. She said, give me a male child to your servant. Right? She poured out her soul to the Lord. And the Lord heard her, remembered her, and responded to her. First, Eli the high priest gave her a lot of hope, right? He said, go in peace and may the God of Israel grant the request that you have asked of him. And then it says in the text, it says the Lord remembered her. And that's when she gave birth to a male child. Okay, with a single prayer, with a single ounce of hope left, Hannah told God about her sadness. And God listened to Hannah, and it says Hannah's face no longer looked sad. Okay, the relationship lesson for us today is very simple. If you're sad in a relationship with another person, it's because you believe that person has lost sight of you and your expectation. And it may even be that you feel sad in your relationship with God. Now, I want to make it very clear. All right, God isn't promising us the good life. Okay? He doesn't promise us that all of our dreams are going to come true in our lifetime. Okay? We often have unrealistic expectations of God about how our lives should go, right? So don't buy into the myth that God is out there to make all your dreams come true. God isn't a genie in a bottle, okay, ready to make your wishes come true. But you can revisit the things that you have on your heart that you feel like he's lost sight of. You can go to the Lord about your sadness. And in God's economy, your tears are never wasted. You can be honest with him. You can pour out your heart to him and lean on him and cry into his chest. And when you ask him to remember you, you can have complete confidence that he really hears you. But here's the thing. You need to come to him knowing your place in his creation. Right? In a single verse, Hannah calls herself the Lord's servant three times. Listen to her prayer again. It says, O Lord of hosts, if you will look with compassion on the suffering of your female servant, remembering me and not forgetting your servant, and give a male child to your servant. She knows she's the Lord's possession. He's got all of her. He'll hear her and remember her and respond to her because she's his. If you're here today and you're not the Lord's possession, you're not in the right relationship with your Creator. God's sad that you have actually lost sight of his expectations of you as a creature of his. And the only thing that will return his gladness towards you is if you hear his expectations of you and you actually respond to his expectations positively and respond. You see, God the Father sent God the Son into the world to tell us what he expected of us. And when he arrived, he was sad. John writes, he was in the world and the world was created by him, but the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, but his own people did not even receive him. If you're ignoring Jesus Christ, you're ignoring God, and he's sad that you've actually lost sight of his expectations of you. But if you want to be in a right relationship with him, you need to listen to Jesus Christ, and you need to hear his promise to forgive you. He'll give you eternal life. If you just simply trust that he really can and will do what he says he's going to do. And when you respond by trusting in Jesus, Christ's death on the cross for you, you'll turn God's sadness into God's gladness towards you. It'll transform how you look at yourself in your relationship with the Lord as well. Okay, the Lord won't be something that you get to demand things from anymore. Instead, you'll see himself as his because he's given himself for you. And to the degree that you believe you're God's own possession, that you're his servant, will be to the degree that you can come to the Lord with your sadness like the confidence that Hannah had. Because she saw herself as the Lord's possession, she knew her sadness was his sadness because she's his. And if you're a Christian, you can go to the Lord with your sadness with complete confidence, and he'll hear you. But if you're not a Christian, you need to seriously think about whether or not you need to address his sadness first by trusting in Jesus Christ and placing yourself into your Creator's possession as his servant. Address God's sadness. Respond to his expectations first. Then take your sadness to him. Just imagine if we all went to the Lord and he reheard our heart's desires with everything in us about all the things that we're sad about. Right? He'll be moved to respond just like he did to Mary and Martha when their brother Lazarus died. One day he's going to make everything sad come untrue. As Christians, we totally feel the sad fallenness of the world most because we know that God, what God created this world to be, it was supposed to be like paradise. And even though we know there's no human solution to ever bring about any fundamental repair to this world, and yet as Christians, we also have an assurance that in the end, Everything is going to be joy. Everything is going to be glory when King Jesus returns. You know, when I was sad in my relationship with the Lord, I did the only thing that I could do. I told the Lord, I'm your servant. I told him what I felt like, that he had felt like he had lost sight of me. He could see all the churches out there that maybe could he might need me in one of them. And I was willing to go wherever it was that he wanted me to go serve. And sure enough, in God's timing, God answered those prayers. And he sent me to become a pastor in Kansas. But God hears us, and he remembers us, and he'll respond as he sees fit. Now, if you're here and you know someone else in your life is sad with you, you need to listen to their expectations. You need to hear them out. You need to remember them and respond to them. Don't leave them ambiguous and unanswered, okay? The reason we need to do that is because that's what Jesus did. He made our sorrows his sorrows. Isaiah 53 says that Jesus bore our grief and carried our sorrows. If your spouse is sad, you need to make their sadness yours. You're one another's possession. Men, this means we need to feel with our wives when they're sad. You have to feel with their inner world without judgment or criticism and just be able to communicate an understanding back to them. Mirror what they're feeling. Just feel what they're feeling, okay? When you do that, it forges a connection with them in their sadness, and you can weep with them, and they need to know that they're not alone and that they matter and that their expectations are legitimate, okay? But it can't be some superficial support either, okay? That's not enough. You need to figure out a way to commit to the next step in response to their expectations that they feel like you've lost sight of. That's what Jesus did, right? He made our problems his problems. Isaiah 53 says that Jesus bore our grief and carried our sorrows. Then he responded by dying for us. Ladies, I want you to imagine if we as husbands reheard, remembered, and responded to you and your expectations in your time of sadness. How would that make you feel? Come on, how would that make you feel if your husband felt with you? Guys, you got to hear, this is what ladies love to hear. And they go to their counselors, this is the thing they talk about. Okay, parents, if your children are sad, go listen to their expectations. Remember them, respond to them, make their sadness yours. Is there any sadness surrounding their expectations related to allowances or chores or leisure time or hobbies or homework or church attendance? All right, kids need to express their expectations out loud, and they need to make sure that they're reasonable, and they need you as their parent to respond to them, okay? And the more you revisit your expectations and your relationships with others, the better and more stable and peaceful your experience is going to be with one another, okay? There's a lot of expectations in our relationships with others that need to be managed well, and they need to be managed at an expectation level. And you have to determine, you have to make the choice right now to not ignore the times that you're sad with others for having lost sight of you, and you need to make the choice right now to make sure your partners and the other people in the relationships also cannot ignore the sadness that they feel, and you need to go address their sadness, okay? Do your part to make your expectations reheard, remembered, and responded to. Don't settle for a false peace with them. You need to be constructive in your sadness. And when others are sad with us, you need to go out of your way and listen, remember, and respond to them as best that you can. Give your relationships with other people hope. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I want to thank you so very much for Hannah and how she responded in her sadness, in her relationship with you, Lord. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you've given us emotions that are helpful to understanding what's going on at an expectation level in our relationships. And we know that these emotions are God-given, and also that you feel them as well. And I pray that if there's anybody here who has never responded to your sadness toward them because they have lost sight of you, that they've never trusted in Jesus Christ, they've lost sight of your expectations in following Christ, that they would understand that you're sad with them, and that they would respond and listen to Jesus and how they can have eternal life with you and have relationship with you by repenting of their sins and trusting that Jesus died on the cross for them, so that your sadness toward them will turn towards gladness. Lord, we have a lot of expectations about you in relation to a lot of circumstances in our life, and I just pray that we're realistic and not unreasonable, and that we would, in a very real way, work out our sadness with you with things that may be making us sad. And I pray that we would work that out well with our spouses and our families, with our children, with our parents, with all the relationships at work, here at church, any area of life, Lord, where there's sadness. I pray that we would understand what's going on at an expectation level and go address it, whether it's our sadness or others. I thank you so much for your word that teaches us how to do relationships. Help us to make choices to address our anger and our sadness. Help us to not let things go out of balance in our relationship. Help us to be in tune with what's going on at a relationship level and make the choice to address it. I pray thanking you for your son. Lord, we want to thank you for making our problems your problems and responding to us, Lord, and carrying our burdens and our sorrows and our grief. And we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing.